This podcast is brought to you by Lanco Group, your business partner for engineering solutions. You are listening to FNR Football Nation Radio.
Josh, it's time to take a look at what else is going on in Europe. And we touched on with Damien the fact that Brighton have sacked their manager, Chris Hughton, after they finished 17th in the Premier League. They won just three of their last 23 league games and none of their final nine, but Hughton was contracted until 2021. And they didn't face relegation. Well, they didn't actually go down, so... yeah, a little bit of a surprise, as we saw also with Matty Ryan.
I think Premier League survival is no mean feat. I mean, those stats don't sound good that you've mentioned, but it's one of the toughest leagues in the world for a reason. And Chris Hughton was very well liked by the players, by the club. He got them promoted, don't forget, and he's been in charge for quite a while there. And I don't think many of the... Chris Hughton is one of the managers that has been given a tough ride by a lot of clubs. I mean, he was sacked by Newcastle United for no particularly good reason, and they brought in Alan Pardew on a five-year contract. You know, he was dumped by Norwich. It hasn't really worked out well for clubs that have got rid of Chris Hughton when he's been doing, you know, passably well with them, because, you know, he is a manager that the players love to play for. He's, you know, not a tactical genius by any means, but he does know how to get a side playing together as a unit. And Matty Ryan in particular, as well as, you know, his defenders in front of him, were very fond of Chris Hughton, have all taken to social media, Shane Duffy, Lewis Dunk, to express their shock at the decision. And I think they've made a huge gamble getting rid of him, because if it goes wrong, then they're down pretty much straight away next season. This is a club living on the edge of relegation, given their size and in respect to the other big clubs in the division.
And the club said that they want a different direction now. So I guess, as you say, it's just how it is in the English Premier League, unfortunately. But elsewhere, Manchester City, they only just wrapped up the EPL title, and yet maybe the celebrations might come to a bit of a halt because they are facing a potential ban from the UEFA Champions League.
Amazing. And obviously a club like City, it will affect them because they do a lot of expensive business in the transfer market. But perhaps, you know, it'll encourage them to maybe blood some of those young players. I mean, they've spent so much money on their academy and no one breaks through. The academy coaches, you know, I heard something the other week that they were basically saying privately to journalists that if Phil Foden can't get in the first team, then they may as well pack it up and go home, because it's not going to get any better than that. So what is this transfer ban actually about? Is it another one of those signing two young players from foreign teams that we not know?
It's not a transfer ban. You're thinking of Chelsea, because they're in hot water as well, because, you know, they just try and get a lot of underage kids into the club and also transfer them out. But Manchester City's is actually an investigation into the club's...
is this financial fair play?
Okay.
Apologies. Yeah, so FFP, there's been how many investigations into Manchester City recently? I mean, FFP is...
this is the one that was going on from November last year.
Okay, well, yeah, that's about them overvaluing their sponsorship deals with basically their owners also own or are associated with businesses like Emirates, who basically plough money into the club through the sponsorship deals. And FFP say that you can't spend more than you earn. So it's supposed to prevent these kinds of sugar daddy owners. But given that they can just plough money in from their businesses, that basically negates that whole principle and they can spend what they like. Now FFP are actually looking at whether these sponsorships are overvalued for what they're worth, and they're just artificially pumping money into the club through these channels. And, you know, if that were banned from European competition, I mean, that would be a huge story, huge story.
And you know what that would mean? Hello, Arsenal fans. you would be the team that would qualify into the UEFA Champions League, regardless of whether or not they win their Europa League final against Chelsea.
Yeah, and, you know, even what I was talking about before, like with the youth players, if they decided to bring some of them through, then maybe they wouldn't have to spend so much crazy money on these transfers
and
actually giving them in hot water in the first place.
But that's why Tottenham's story is so commendable, because Maurizio Pochettino hasn't spent a single dime in 18 months, right? Mm. So he's had to work with...
and he beat them in the Champions League.
...what he's got, exactly. And again, it's just the environment. I really tip my hat to Poch, because when you're in that EPL environment, you've got all these massive big spenders around you, and no doubt you'd feel the pressure to try and keep up with them. And the fact that he hasn't you know, bought anyone and still managed to make it to a UEFA Champions League final is just, it's remarkable. Well done to them. But Manchester City, you will find out in the next couple of weeks as to what's going to happen with that. Hopefully positive news for their supporters.
Well, their supporters seem to think UEFA has a conspiracy against them. So they boo the Champions League anthem at Manchester City home games, which is just, I mean, I think it's amazing some of the compartmentalising that English Premier League fans in particular can do just because they support this team. Everything that the club does is now morally correct. And I just think that's incredibly one-eyed from a lot of fans from a lot of clubs, really.
Speaking of UEFA Champions League anthem, I saw a beautiful video last night and it was of Lille in Ligue 1. All of the players were lined up in the dressing room singing the UEFA Champions League anthem because they had qualified for the UCL.
A sensational achievement for a team like Lille. I mean, they were up there, you know, not too long ago when Eden Hazard was coming through in that side, but, you know, they've been struggling in recent seasons to repeat that success. And yeah, it's great to see them break through into European competition for next season. Those are the stories that, you know, keep Ligue 1 going, because God knows that PSG is just going to take home title after title for the foreseeable future, unless, again, you get another FFP investigation into the big spenders from Paris.
And staying with the UCL, Inter Milan took a crucial step towards securing their Champions League football next season by beating 10-man Chievo 2-0 in Serie A this morning.
Let's talk about another legend from Serie A, mentioning the Italian league. Daniele De Rossi has announced that he will leave Roma after 18 years at the club. He's not going to retire. He won't be a one-club man. It's going to depart for another team, which just seems wrong considering he's made 600 appearances for the capital club. An absolute legend. The sort of beating heart, the representation of the supporters on the field. I mean, if Francesco Totti was loved, Daniele De Rossi was treasured by the fans just because he is that fighting spirit. And you've seen Roma post a video on Twitter today, which is just Daniele De Rossi making slide tackles. I mean, that's all you need to say about him. You know, he plays for the badge. And, you know, it just seems kind of weird that he will play for another team. I'm not sure if it'll be in Italy or overseas, maybe MLS or, you know, China is calling
for him. You'd hope it would be outside of Italy.
It would feel weird if he was playing for another Italian club. But yeah, Daniele De Rossi, absolute legend of Roma. 18 years since he first pulled on that shirt, and you know,
615 games.
He's played every single game like it was his last. So you know, he's left nothing out there on the field.
And moving on, Frankie De Jong admits he will be joining Barcelona with great joy after a pretty awesome season with Ajax.
Heartbreaking end to it, of course.
I know. And did you see the video of him chanting with all the fans, "One final fare"?
Yeah, I mean, this is always going to happen. Ajax being picked off by big European clubs, and that loss to Tottenham had a sense of finality to it. Sort of youth cut down in their prime, you know, against this unit from Spurs. Not, you know, the financial powerhouse that some of the other clubs were, but they really drew it out into a fight, and Ajax couldn't quite keep them at bay until the end. But Frankie de Jong, I mean, I think he'll be a perfect signing for Barcelona. But given that, you know, that Barcelona were also dumped out of the Champions League in rather unceremonious and cruel fashion, you know, is this, I mean, obviously it's a step up in terms of the size of the club, but the quality of the team, I'd argue, is probably not that far off given what we've seen in Europe this season.
No. But unfortunately, that will be the last time we'll ever see that team together because, as you touch on, they'll be sold on and bought by bigger clubs.
We'll go. I think maybe Van der Beek will probably go as well.
De Ligt is pretty close to
signing.
Ziyech
has a 25 million euro release clause, which a lot of Serie A clubs have picked up on, and I think he'll go as well. So they'll probably lose 4 to 5 players this offseason, which is just a devastating blow. But they did do something pretty special this season in making it to a semi-final. And that shows that Ajax, you know, with their youth system, with their, you know, lack of transfer spending, can still do something in Europe. They're few and far between, these kinds of teams like Monaco and Ajax that come up and actually make a big splash in Europe. But it can still happen even with the unfair playing field that we have in European football at present.
Josh, that's all we've got time for today. But thank you for joining me here in the studio, and thank you for your company at home. If you've missed any of the show, head to FNR's website or FNR's SoundCloud. We'll see you again at the same time tomorrow. Bye for now.